All right, welcome to the Environmental Harmony Podcast. I'm your hostess, Bethany Latham, and today I'm talking with Keisha Ernst from Catalyst Bioamendments. Welcome to the show, Keisha. Thank you for coming.
Thank you for having me, Bethany.
Can you just introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about your background and introduce us to your business, Catalyst Bioamendments?
Sure. Let's see. I guess, first of all, I'm one of those doer personalities. I love working with my hands. I love, crafting, working in the garden, being outside in nature. And so I guess my least favorite thing to do is to sit down on the computer and have to type all day. I love gardening. I've been, steeping in that lifestyle since I was born. I was raised on a farm, and my family were big into keeping a big garden every year and putting up food and canning in the fall.
Nice. Were you raised on a subsistence kind of homestead scale farm?
Yeah, I suppose we raised cattle for a living. That's what my family did. And so the garden was just basically for us. It wasn't the focus, but it was just something that everybody did where I lived.
Nice. And did you grow up in California? That's where you're based now, right?
Yeah, we're based out of California now. I moved here in 2001. No, yeah, 2001. I actually grew up in the Midwest in Southern Missouri.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I grew up in Indiana. I have a lot of family in Missouri.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So you're a graduate of the Soil Food Web programs, as am I. And I had Dr. Elaine Ingham on the podcast a few episodes ago to talk about all about that. So anyone who's listening, if you're totally lost with what Keisha's doing and what she's going to be talking about, maybe go back and listen to that episode with Dr. Ingham. I think it's episode 10 or 11.
I feel certain that she got into the basics.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
Work. Yeah, good. I'll save you then.
Yeah. So we're talking about creating biocomplete compost and extracts using microscopy. And that's essentially what Catalyst Bioamendments does. Am I correct?
That's right. I guess the story with Catalyst was we were graduates of the program and we decided we were going to go through the consultant training program. And we realized we were going to need 5 to 10 yards of, really high quality, microbially diverse compost. And my partner and I set out to check all of the local brands. So, at the time, there was a lot of compost companies that were talking about biology. They were referring to it in their labels. They have their bio blend or their, microbe focused blend or whatever you want to call them. Mm-hmm. So I thought it was going to be pretty easy. I just got my microscope out. I started looking at all the different products that were available. And unfortunately, there was no life in it except for bacteria. If even that, a lot of the products that we were assessing with the microscope just seemed void of the life that we were expecting to see. So when we got started, we were planning on being consultants. We weren't trying to be compost producers. It was never my goal personally to run a compost lot. I didn't know how to drive a tractor. Neither did my husband. We just weren't those kind of people. Mm-hmm. But we ended up going to a workshop. We got to assist Dr. Elaine, it must have been 5 years ago, in one of her microscope intensives in person. And when we were at that workshop here in Oroville, actually, it's a town nearby, we met the people we started our business with, Zach Ellis and Gregory Munn. And the four of us decided that, we wanted to try to start making this kind of compost. We were going to see if we could make it work. And we were lucky. We were able to get a composting permit together and, get started. So, the goal of Catalyst is to just create a product that folks like us that have worked at the Soil Food Web School, people that are really focused on microbes, can use to do their regenerative work. The biggest thing is, we're trying to make an inoculum because that's really the problem is you can't usually find all the microbes that you want in one place. So the goal of us was to create that and then, share how we made it happen with everyone else. So, there's more of us out there doing this work.
Absolutely. There's so much of a need for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. More and more.
Yeah. When you first started, did you start making your own compost just to see if it could be done and then testing it and seeing, wow, this is actually biocomplete?
Yeah. To go through the foundation courses, I guess you don't have to, maybe we jumped the gun a little bit. When I was going through the foundation courses, mm-hmm. I was making compost and using the microscope the whole time. And then Yeah, we learned how to make compost, at small scale, one, 2 yards at a time, like most people do. The problem was figuring out how to do it at a large scale. We didn't know if we would be able to, make compost that was consistently good when we're talking about hundreds and thousands of tons of material. And we were lucky, and it is possible, actually. It's not as difficult as we thought. I think really the barrier, it's not that all these other compost companies are making really great compost and then it's dying like we thought before. It's that the practices have to be considering the microbes from the very start. And if you do that, it is actually quite easy to, help microbes grow at scale. We were pleased to find that out after investing so much time and trying.
Yeah, can you describe the process?
Sure. I mean, it was a lot of failing because we just didn't have anyone to show us what to do. We did when the people that delivered our compost turner, they showed up, they kind of showed us how the compost turner works, how it connects to the tractor, and they gave us a few ideas about how to be safe and not be, hit by the rocks and the wood that the compost turner can throw. But basically what we did was we tried to use common sense and everything that we learned from the Soil Food Web School, and then it was really just learning as we go, adding too many high nitrogen materials and it getting too hot, or our machine breaking because the materials are assembled in the wrong way and the machine can't handle the density of them. All these little things, just mistake after mistake after mistake, and there's a quite a learning curve. But really, I believe our very first windrow was, biocomplete by the school standards, right? We don't use that term because that's the school's trademark, but we saw the biology that we wanted to see in the very first pile. So, that helped. And then as time's gone on, it gets better. Now it's a lot easier to make a much higher quality than it was in the beginning. We have a lot less failed windrows, a lot less compost that we have to recreate or work on more. So what we're finding is as time goes on, it's just getting easier and easier to produce something that's reliable. And I think even at home composters probably find that as they get their steam going and they really start to learn their recipes and reuse their inoculation, their mother culture, it gets very, very simple to make a good product.
Nice. And how are you? So how did you scale your business as far as getting clients and getting people to know about you?
It was a lot of just talking about what we do. I think something that's different between us and a lot of companies that have tried or do make compost in this way is we've just been sharing the whole time. We've been sharing, when we have wins, when we're failing, what's working, what's not. And so it was a lot of just outreach on social media and just letting people know what we were doing, and then answering lots of questions when people had them. And I mean, honestly, having the school students, that was the start, was there's already so many people interested in what we were doing. We had maybe five or six people buy, a bag of compost from our first pile, and the compost worked really well. And then they told their friends, and their friends told more people. So to this point, we haven't been strongly advertising at all. We've just been kind of chugging along, doing our best to learn and scale, and then, looking to the community to keep us afloat. So we've been, again, really lucky to grow the way we have.
Nice. Do you have a lot of return clients and people that you who are placing orders for compost before you're even creating piles at this point?
No, at this point we've learned how to gotten a lot better at what we do. And in the beginning we had a really tiny compost turner. I'm using my hands, but it was a 6 foot wide compost turner. It's pretty big, but we got to Well, got to. We went through a total a burnout. Our compost lot caught on fire, and we lost a lot of machinery. And we had to kind of rise up. And in that, coming back to life after the fire, we created a much bigger compost lot. We started using a much bigger compost turner, and we changed our processes. So now we have compost year round. We actually can make more than we sell at this point. We're in the beginning when we were making the smaller windrows, we couldn't make enough to satisfy demand. And so, yeah, now we have much more product on lot, and it's a lot faster for us to make it. So we're not just churning and composting all day long like we used to in the beginning. We have a lot more time now for consulting. So, and with the customers to answer that, yeah, I mean, that's the favorite part of the job, right? Like some of our clients, they've been with us since the very beginning, and just watching them use the product, make their own products, just watching them learn how to use the compost and teas and extracts, and watching them win and to learn from them, right? So we have these awesome relationships with our clients where I mean, all the time we'll be online together, just kind of panicking about some, disease that popped up, or like, oh my gosh, what is this that we're seeing in the microscope? And so a lot of our clients have turned into friends, to be honest, over the years. And that's got to be the best part of the job, really.
Yeah, it must be so
Community.
cool to see them. Like,
It is.
I'm sure that you've seen their farms and their lands transform as well through this whole process.
Oh, for sure. For sure. I mean, we all get to. That's the best part about this work, right? Is like, it doesn't always work 100% the way we want it to, but if you stick to it, big change is happening. So, and that's one of my favorite things to witness is just, yeah, people learning,
Yeah,
figuring it
absolutely. And you're based in Northern California. So, are you guys primarily serving people in your area, or are you actually shipping your compost nationwide? What's that
Yeah,
look
we
like?
do. We ship it nationwide. We ship small packages. And so a lot of the times people are using it just for teas, extracts, but the majority of people are using it just to get their compost started. I hear that a lot. Someone will buy, or just to look at it under the microscope. A lot of people they just want to see what the microbes look like. So they'll order a small package of ours just to like play with on their scopes to see what their compost should look like when they're making it. But yeah, we do. We ship out all over the place and we don't go outside the country. That's where the line stops, but
Yeah. No, there's it's a little bit tricky there because you don't want to be introducing foreign microbes into these other systems.
it is a thought, but I do realize as well that it's a thought that we have because we're thinking about the microbes, right? The people who make like Miracle-Gro, for example, like that compost gets shipped all over the US. And no one's really thinking about what microbes they're moving around.
Right.
Also, like, think about plants, right? There's big nurseries like Monrovia is a really popular one. They're huge and they ship out plants all over the US. And wrapped around each one of those root systems is an ecosystem that's being shipped away. So I hear it. I hear that. And it's definitely a possibility. But I think no one's looked at this up until now. No one's thought about this until now. And so, we do prefer that there are more people out there making compost so that we don't need to ship, but at this point there's not. So
Right, exactly.
we're doing the best we can while being as thoughtful as possible. We do scope everything to make sure there's no microbe. What would really worry me is something that is capable of just dominating any environment, right? And so that is the one thing that we're looking at. When we're using the microscopes, we're looking for an ecosystem. I'm looking for bacteria, diverse bacteria. I'm looking for fungi, lots of different types, lots of predators, right? So this is an ecosystem that's going to check itself. It's not sending out one microbe and being like, this one's very aggressive. And I do hear that some companies, we found this one microbe and it's so aggressive. And I'm like, ooh, that is kind of scary, that it's so aggressive. But I do believe in the strength of an ecosystem, and I do believe that the plants and the microbes in some way work intelligently together. So my hope is that, yeah, we don't cause any issues, but we do ship outside of state.
That's an interesting thing. I was in Kenya a few years ago, and they were using a lot of invasive species to heal and restore like mining sites. And I mean, that was the only these plants were the only plants that could survive in those horrible chemical conditions and repair the soil. And then they had a program in place to kind of try to, balance all of that out after that initial repair had been done. But I think we have to steer away from being like too perfectionistic at this point, in how our planet is just being treated and the state of things.
Yeah, that's kind of the way I feel about it too. I mean, I'm no fan of invasive plant species, right? But I see their place, and some of the properties I work at, I'm grateful for the mustard that grows. And then I'm also very grateful that when I cut it down, I see native milkweed, popping up right behind it. And so I think a lot of the times we look at this, we look at the microbes, and the first thing we think about is what we can see with our eyes is plants, right? And that's the first thing people, when they're talking about invasive creatures ruining the scene, almost everyone brings up plants. And we got to remember that like these plants are coming in and taking over in zones where nothing else is able to grow. You look at the microbes in that soil, it's not a beautiful biodiverse, soil system. Sometimes it's even void of much bacteria if you want to be real. I mean, sometimes there's not much going on at all. And so, I mean, I know even just within California, we've got a lot of different bioregions here. Our compost is actually made in the north, and it is made with native native plants. Like we're not making our compost out of food resources. Like all the food that we eat, those aren't from America. A lot of those foods are imported from other places. And so, thinking that the food that we eat is the best resource for our indigenous microorganisms might not be true. They seem to eat it just fine. It seems to me that microbes love organic material. As long as it's diverse, like they make it good. But what I do think about with our compost is it is made out of a lot of native plants. We use a lot of oak trees, a lot of shrubs. When they're doing fire clearing, that's where we like to take our materials from. And weeds are even better. Invasive species of weeding materials, like that's, I love composting that stuff. You get it in the ground and it starts to do its job. And then before it seeds, we cut it and we make compost with it. But I guess what I'm getting to is a lot of the work that we do is actually in Southern California, where the environment is very, very different. And we've seen the native plants down there just do incredible things with a very, very light amount of compost extract. It's almost like those natives in those seed banks that are sitting in the ground waiting seem to respond really, really well to the work that we do in the soil food, that was taught by the Soil Food Web School. And it's like, I mean, I usually think about crops and vegetables, but the native plants and the native seed bank, they wake right up and respond. And so I do see that as a good sign.
Absolutely. I think that's a space where this type of methodology could just be so beneficial to the environment, especially like repairing zones along the coasts and boosting the fertility back in those spaces so we can start filtering the water and runoff and all of that.
Absolutely. We've been in a lot of meetings talking to the Coastal Commission and people that have funding for that kind of work. And they're very interested in cleaning up the waterways and cleaning up the soil and the coast. And basically, up from there, right? Everything reaches, all water is bound for the ocean. So they talk about it like mountain to sea. It's all the same watershed. So I think so. And we've an interesting thing with the native plant regeneration reality is that there's not really good answers on how to deal with these invasive species of plants, right? The best answer that they have right now is glyphosate and disking, which is exactly what gets us in. It's the cause of the problem in agriculture, and now we're trying to use it with our regeneration of native wildlands. So we have a lot of work to do in figuring out the, proper best practices for regeneration, but
I love composting as a solution for getting rid of invasive species. That's perfect.
yes. Make more compost.
Biochar.
For sure. I
I
like, I mean,
hear.
on the biochar note, like I am very into biochar that's made small scale with thoughtful ingredients. I feel the same way about large scale biochar as I do large scale compost. I don't trust the materials that go into it. They try to use clean wood waste, but when you understand those large scale flows of materials, you understand that it's really impossible to get all of that wood waste that we don't want out. So, good to make it yourself, I think. DIY all the way.
Definitely, definitely. So, what do you see Catalyst growing forward in the future? I've heard you mention a lot about compost extracts, and maybe could you explain that process a little bit to people who are listening who might not know what a compost
What a
extract
compost
is?
extract is. Yeah, compost extract's basically the way that we can take a small amount of compost and turn it into a liquid amendment that we could spread over acres and acres. So typically, when we're talking large scale compost or large scale application, our farmers are using a very small amount of compost, a few pounds per acre. And so how do you take 2 pounds of compost and spread it over an acre of land? You mix it with water. And so there's a lot of different ways to go about it. We can use mesh bags and massage by hand. We like to use, in our consulting business, we use these large scale extraction machines that force air through. And they just make it very fast and easy so that we can put, 40 pounds of compost into a machine and come out with, 175, 275 gallons of extract. And then there's compost teas as well. Compost tea is an extract that's had food added to it and it's been aerated. Usually, typically overnight to grow out bacteria and fungi so that we can apply it. And that catalyst, the future there, I think it's just we're going to continue to improve our practices as, as we grow and we change, we get more people on the team. Folks get great ideas about how we can improve the process, how we can get, more microbial diversity, how we can make that happen faster, easier, more reliable. We definitely are looking at scaling up. Sorry, guys. On my phone.
How much compost are you producing right now?
My gosh, I'm so sorry.
Oh, you're good. No worries.
Since you, sorry. We are probably producing around 1,000 yards a year right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
Yeah, maybe
how
more.
large do you see that growing to?
On this particular lot, we could do upwards of 5,000 if we really pushed it. But I think in the future, we're probably going to be expanding out to go into, much larger scale operations. Right now, what I use is like very boutique. So we grow all of our own materials, not all of them, but we grow our materials. We contract people to grow materials for us. We're very, very specialized in what we'll bring in and, how we treat everything. But my interest is moving into waste, large scale waste, and figuring out how we can take all this material that's not necessarily the best for growing microbes and learn how to, operate in a different way where we can make a product at large scale that's very inexpensive, but very useful for the work that we're doing. Because the way we make compost right now, it's really expensive. I mean, it's we pay for every single input material we have. Typically, when you're looking at like, oh wow, like why is that compost $50? It's because it's a waste product of an industry that's just trying to reduce, volumes of organic materials down into something less so that it's not taking over dump and just filling our planet. So yeah, in the future, I mean, I plan on moving just up more and more and more, trying to get into larger and larger scale. And I don't know if that'll look like Catalyst owning those lots or Catalyst working with those lots or maybe it's teaching, I'm not sure, but as
You
we have
guys,
more free time.
you guys do teach how to make compost. I've seen on your Instagram page just how I found you, that you do workshops, which look really, really fun.
Yeah, that's really my favorite thing. That's my favorite part of the job. Yeah, I guess if I'm honest, if we could just make that happen in our spare time, because we love getting together with people and talking about microbes so much, I could see it going in that direction. But yeah, we'll see. There's so many different possibilities for a business. Where will we
Definitely.
go? Yeah. Keep watching.
I'm excited to see how it evolves. Definitely.
Me too.
Right now I'm working in the construction industry, primarily, and there's so much waste, and that's something that I have a really hard time with, and a lot of people I work with have a struggle with. And it would be interesting, just as you're talking about this, to think about like how repurposed wood scrap material could be like shredded or used as like the carbon aspect of compost.
Yeah, we actually had an unfortunate incident where we bought a truck full of wood chips that was supposed to be it was supposed to be, the normal product that we get, and it was ground up wood waste. And we won't use that in the product that we make now, but I have 100 yards of it. So we will be
Man.
playing with that. So get back in touch with me and I'll let
Right.
you know what kind of compost it makes. It won't be for sale because I'm concerned about wood waste, honestly. I just don't know what's
Yeah.
in it.
The
But
chemicals, absolutely. That's all treated with horrible chemicals.
that's it.
It's
That's
like,
it.
could the microbes get rid of that aspect and
Well, they
then turn it
can.
into this amazing product?
Yeah, they can. I mean, I've talked to Elaine about it so many times where it's just like in these places where all these horrendous chemicals are piled, that's where the microbes that eat them typically end up living, right? And so in my mind, if we can really carefully and specifically create compost with these toxic materials and then use DNA analysis, right, to take it a little bit further, I think over time we will start building a culture that eats wood waste, and then that compost could be specifically for that industry. And then that goes on and on and on. There's so many different, you look at the dump, you look at but there's just so many different places where these organic materials collect that aren't so great. Feedlots where they have cattle, for instance, those cows aren't healthy, and that's a terrible waste product. Not that I agree with the industry, but goodness, if they could make it healthier for the cattle and the people that live around that by
Absolutely.
composting.
Yeah, I feel like microbes could answer so many of our they could be the solution for so many problems on Earth, but there's just so much work to be done in that capacity.
Yeah,
We
I
need
agree.
microbes that just eat plastic out of the ocean and on and on.
Yeah, I think the problem is a lot of people are trying to just capture one microbe that has a specific function and then use that to like cure the ocean and make money off of it, right? The idea is like, oh, I can get this one, I can own it, I can replicate it, and I can sell it. When really we need communities of microorganisms to save the ocean, to save the woodways, you know, like we've got to be looking at this, you know, the entire ecosystem. And I think that's where the work that we do, the work that you do, and people like us is we actually focus on the whole ecosystem, not just one. And the idea that that can be transferred around and taught to more people, so it's not just a one big company owning the IP and everybody else being, you know, in service to them, you know, buying from them all the time. That's the beauty of this whole system, I think, anyway.
I agree, yeah. Definitely. That's what makes it holistic. Yeah, so how can people get in touch with you? And I know you're very active on Instagram. And that handle is
Instagram is
Catalyst
my one.
Bioamendments.
Yeah, at Catalyst Bioamendments on Instagram. We're on Facebook as well. The website, www.catalystbioamendments.com. Gosh, where else? You could also find us. Soil Matters is our consulting company. You can find us there, www.soilmatters2.us. And I think that's it. We're not on Twitter or any of those. I've capped myself off.
Yeah, nice. You
I
always
can't
have
do
to
all
do
the social
that.
media.
Yeah, that's very important. I feel like you have to focus in. You don't have to be everywhere.
Draw a line somewhere.
Yeah, absolutely. So I know we don't have a whole lot more time. And so I'd like to ask a couple of closing questions just to get to know my guests a little bit better.
Sure.
So the first one is, what is your opinion of the most impactful action we could take individually to benefit the health of our communities and larger global family?
Yeah, I believe that the best way to affect the rest of the world is by focusing in on your own reality and what you can do in your day-to-day life in your own community, right? So by really taking time to assess what it is that we're passionate about, what we love doing, what really lights us up in the world, making our work that kind of focus, I believe that that directly affects the rest of the world. By working on our own situation and finding health and balance there, I think that's the ticket if I
Yeah,
had to pick one.
I love that. It's so simple, but the ripple effect is immeasurable.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Thank you. My second question is, what advice might you have for someone who really wants to start something like you've done with Catalyst Bioamendments and that you wish you had been given before you all began this journey?
For sure. If you've got a big goal in front of you and you don't know how to do it, I would say stick with it. That's exactly what we were facing when we started Catalyst. We had no idea, you know, how we were going to make it happen, but persistence and just every day waking up and, you know, getting what you can done and learning what you can and moving forward will eventually get you there, it seems. I don't know if that's in every single walk of life, but with composting, I'm fairly certain that advice will that'll work.
Yeah, I love that. I've been re-listening to Atomic Habits, and he talks about that. Like, if you could be 1% better every day, or just focus every day on something for any amount of time, how much better would you be at the end of a year, or 2 years, or 5 years? How much closer to your goal?
Yeah, it's powerful what 3 years of time can do if you just have an intention that's set the whole time. It's really something.
How long ago did you all start Catalysts?
Almost 5 years ago. It'll be 5 years this fall.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome. All right, Zoom is about to kick us off, so I'll try to wrap this up. What is one of your most favorite plants?
My most favorite plants. Oh my goodness, that's so hard. I'm kind of famous for like liking all plants.
Yeah,
I have a garden that
same.
one of my clients calls my reject garden because it's all the plants that nobody wants, like any plants
Yeah.
basically. So yeah, when I saw your list, I was like, oh man, what if she asked me the plant question? I'll never know what
That's all
to say.
right.
We
All of them
good.
is a perfect question, perfect answer.
Awesome. All
Well,
right.
I'm gonna tag all the places people can find you, Keisha, and thank you so much for taking your time out of your day to come talk to me and everybody about your amazing business.
For sure. Thanks for having me. We'll talk again
Talk
soon.
to you
Bye.
soon. Bye.